facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome, welcome. Shalom, shalom. It is Tuesday. It is December the 21st, 2021. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 888-914-9149. By the way, because it is December the 21st, 2021, that means the date is 21-12-21 or 12-21-21, depending on how you render the date. But here's what you can do. I don't know what this means. I don't know if that's a numerical thing or not. You can let me know. But you could be super annoying and text all your friends at 21-21 in 21 seconds. 21-21-21 on 12-12-21. Or you could wait till after midnight and do it at 12-21-21 on 12-21-21. Okay, I'm driving myself crazy with these numbers.
It took you 21 seconds to say that.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
wow.
I don't know. I'm just guessing.
You were timing me, yeah. It's like people who play Sudoku, like my wife. That makes my brain hurt. I'm more of a literary guy than a numbers guy, as it were. And by the way, speaking of reading, I read a very, very intriguing survey that was done by the very famous, very reputable Pew Research Survey on American life and religion. And they did a survey on the afterlife. So I'll be sharing with you in just a moment what you actually believe, what Americans believe about who goes where at the end of life. And not just at the end of your life, after your life. It's life after death. Actually, it even encompasses life after death. You say, well, how is there life after death? Well, I'm talking about the resurrection, folks. I'm talking about the general resurrection at the end of time. And it is time for you to call in, 888-914-9149. You can also tweet at me, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. And you can email the program, Cale, C-A-L-E, at relevantradio.com. Oh, by the way, we have a show Twitter account as well. The producer Lucas shadow account, at Cale Clark Show, is the handle there. When are you going to come back to Twitter, Lucas?
Never.
Is that one of your New Year's resolutions?
I'm never
just
going back. No, my New Year's
hide
resolution.
Behind the show name for the rest of your life.
My New Year's resolution will be to continue to stay off of Twitter.
Oh, except for.
Except for
a
when
show
I post
account.
Things from the show account.
Yeah, it's like being an actor, you know. I'm not a Twitter user, I play one on TV. Okay, so let's get into the afterlife survey. And this was fascinating to me. Apparently, most Americans believe that hell is other people. Hey, apologies to everyone out there. But really, this was a response to, this is kind of a follow-up to a study that the Pew Research Forum did during the pandemic about suffering, the problem of suffering, the problem of evil. A lot of people obviously have been suffering. A lot of people have lost their lives during this pandemic. It's not over yet, you know, with Omicron. It's still cooking. Thankfully, it is a lot more. It seems that Omicron is a lot more tame than the Delta variant, which we can be somewhat thankful for. But I was going to tell a really bad joke, but should I tell a bad joke, Lucas? Or yeah, okay, I will. As someone said, no, you know, I'm not going to do that because I don't want to minimize this. I'm not going to do that. But anyways, I shouldn't have even teased that. But here's the survey. The Pew Research Forum surveyed 6,485 American adults. And this happened in September, but the results are now trickling out now about the afterlife, what they think about heaven, hell. Some people still believe in reincarnation. That's more popular than you might think. Whether fate, quote-unquote fate, has anything to do with one's fate. prayer, all kinds of stuff. All kinds of supernatural stuff. So let me bottom line some of the numbers for you. 73% of Americans today believe in heaven, and 62% still believe in hell. That is interesting to me. That is very interesting to me. And don't forget, this survey was done during, you know, as sort of a part of this study on suffering. Where is God in the midst of suffering? The problem of evil, which is known as theodicy. That's the technical name for it in theological circles. And really, our faith speaks a lot to that. There's read the book of Job in the Old Testament. Why do bad things happen to good people? Job is a great answer to that question as a book. And as one writer said years ago, we do have God's, we don't have all the answers to why certain things occur, especially at the individual level. Why does God allow certain things to happen? We know in a general sense, and even God himself has been touched by evil, the death of Jesus, people killed God. Think about that for a minute. But yet God flipped that around to his advantage, to our advantage. And that very act was what enabled us to have salvation. So as one writer said years and years ago, God has revealed his right hand to us, salvation history. That's all that we need to know. That's contained in Scripture, the teaching of the church, the word of God passed on verbally, kept us safeguarded in the church as well as in the Scriptures. There's salvation history, God's action in the world. That's kind of his right hand. He shows us that. But he kind of hides his left hand. We don't see that. There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that we don't know exactly why God allows, but we'll find out in the afterlife. All answers will be given then. But in terms of how people answered this survey, it's kind of, in a sense, comforting to me that this concept of heaven, hell, that's a biblical concept. So even though biblical literacy has gone way, way down in the culture, we all know this. Catechesis, it's at rock bottom levels. We're trying to do our part to try to fix that here on Relevant Radio. That's why we have programs like The Faith Explained. But the good thing is that the vestiges of that faith, of Christianity in America, they're still there. There's still the vestiges of that teaching in people's minds, even if they're not consciously or actively believing, which is, in a sense, a comfort. And in a sense, it's not a comfort because it's a comfort because there's a hope to recover it. There's a hope to recapture it. There's a hope to strengthen it. But it's also a cold comfort in a certain sense because it's like that old analogy that sometimes people have been inoculated against the Catholic faith. Have you ever heard this one? That they've gotten just enough of the faith that they never catch the real thing, right? And these are people that are cultural Catholics that go to Mass, you know, once in a while, maybe Christmas and Easter, or they come from a Catholic background, or the ethnic group that they belong to is traditionally Catholic. The country that their ancestors came from is traditionally Catholic. So they think, oh, I'm Catholic. And technically they may be. They may be baptized Catholics, but they don't have that living personal relationship with Christ. They're not active in their faith. They're not actively receiving the sacraments. They're not praying. That's sometimes a tough group to reach. That may be the toughest group to reach. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. So let's go back now. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. Let's go back to some of the stats from the survey about religious life in America, religious beliefs on the afterlife in America, according to the Pew Research Survey. Okay, so about 3/4 of U.S. citizens that were surveyed believe in the afterlife, okay? So if you look at the total, like I said, 73% believe in heaven, 62% believe in hell, slightly less. Now, when it comes to evangelical Christians, and this, you know, shouldn't be much of a surprise given their adherence to the Bible and its teachings, when the Bible is very clear on these issues. So 96% of evangelicals believe in heaven, 91% believe in hell. So it's really close, and it's almost 100%. And when it comes to Catholics, 90% of Catholics believe in heaven, but only 74% of Catholics believe in an eternal hell. Let me break it down a little bit more. Men and women in the United States, and this kind of covers all groups, 68% of men believe in heaven, 78% of women. So a little bit more hopeful for the fairer sex there. In terms of hell, 59% of men believe in hell, 65% of women believe in hell. That's interesting. So men are lower on both counts there. What about young versus old? The coveted demographic, if you will, you know, broadcasters always talk about this. We got to get the 18 to 49 age group. And hopefully our ratings are strong here on this program in that age group. And also the old all age groups, all ages. It's for kids. It's for everybody. Okay, so 18 to 49. Ages 18 to 49 in the U.S., 67% believe in heaven and 58% believe in hell. Which is kind of comforting that the young haven't given up on this concept of eternity, the afterlife. 50 plus, 80% believe in heaven, 67% believe in hell. So the older you get, it seems the more, the closer you are to one of those destinations maybe, but the older you get, you seem to retain more of it. Now, what about politically? This is interesting. If you lean towards voting Republican or you are a Republican, you identify as a Republican, 85% of Republicans believe in heaven and 75% of Republicans believe in hell. Democrats, not so much. Not so much. If you are Democratic, if you lean towards voting Democratic, 64%, only 64% believe in heaven. That's lower than the national average. And only 52%, it's just about half, believe in the existence of an eternal hell. So fun with the numbers there. One out of four Americans don't believe in either heaven or hell. So that's pretty interesting. So that's 25%. 7% believe in some sort of a different type of afterlife. 70, I don't know what that might be or what they're basing that on. What's your evidence for that? That's always a good question to ask. 17% don't believe in any afterlife at all. It's good to know where people are at so we can try to help them. Okay, so more. Let's drill this down even more. About 70% of those who are surveyed believe that heaven is definitely or probably a place where people are free from suffering. 65% say they are reunited with loved ones who died previously. Most people are hoping for that. They want to meet God. 62% think they can meet God personally in heaven and have perfectly healthy bodies. 60% believe that they will have perfectly healthy bodies in heaven. And I hope to have that as well. I certainly don't have that now. Need to fix that. It's almost New Year's. I can make some resolutions. About half of Americans view hell as an actual place where people experience psychological and physical suffering. 53%, okay, believe that. And they are right about that because the church does teach that there is an element of physical suffering in hell. What do I mean by that? Well, we'll get into that in just a second, so hold tight on that. It's not just purely a spiritual thing. All right, so 4 out of 10 Americans believe that people in hell can meet or probably can meet Satan. Not that you'd want to. Now, this is here's where things get a little bit interesting in terms of Catholics and what they believe versus everybody else. Catholics are twice as likely as Protestants to say that people who don't believe in God can go to heaven. I don't know where they're getting this from. So this is a whopper. Only 34% of Protestants say that you can go to heaven without believing in God. 56% say, no, you can't. Heck no, they won't go. 68% of Catholics believe that you can go to heaven, that people could go to heaven without believing in God. That, and only 20% say no. Only 20% have the right answer. You have to have some belief in God to go to heaven. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So if anyone's in heaven, it's through Jesus Christ, even if they didn't personally know Christ while on earth. Now, the church says it is possible for people to attain heaven without being specifically Catholic. It is possible. Is it the easiest way? No. Is it the best way? No. It's kind of like there are a few different ways I could get from New York City to Los Angeles. I could try hitchhiking. Might not make it. I could catch a bus, Greyhound. That might prove to be a fun experience in all the wrong ways. I could drive, better chance, or probably the best way, if you can get on a flight at this time of year, is to fly. In a safe manner, of course. And so that being Catholic is kind of like flying. That's what Peter Kreeft used to say. It's kind of like flying because you've got all the advantages. You've got baptism. You've got this is the church that Jesus founded. You've got all of his teachings preserved in sacred scripture, sacred tradition. You've got the guidance of the Holy Spirit on so many other matters throughout the centuries. You've got so many advantages that people didn't have before. It's kind of like the invention of the plane or the automobile, which didn't exist, 200 years ago. It was tough to get around. So it's a lot easier, but it is possible for someone of goodwill who, through no fault of their own, does not know the truth about God, about the Catholic Church. It is possible for them. But you've got to have some kind of belief in the divine, in the afterlife. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's impossible. So this to me speaks to poor catechesis among Catholics. And we know that is the case. I think we can anecdotally say that unfortunately the vast body of Catholics is probably, we all need some work in terms of learning our faith. We can, including me, I have a lot to learn. The more I learn, the more I realize I have so much more to learn. That I really don't know anything, but we all can stand to learn more. So I found that to be kind of fascinating. I also found that looking at the stats here, that Catholics aren't that sure about their own faith. Maybe they're not as confident in their own faith as they should be. Protestants are more than twice as likely as Catholics to say that their faith is the one true faith. 38% of Protestants would say that their faith is the one true faith. So not even all Protestants think this. Only 16% of Catholics think their faith is the one true faith. And we don't say this, by the way. It is true that the Catholic Church is the church Jesus founded. But by the way, we don't say that in a kind of triumphalistic fashion. Not at all. Not at all. We're just the mail carriers. It's God's idea. We're just, as one writer said, we are beggars telling the other beggars where to find the bread. And in this case, it's the bread of life. It's the Eucharist. It's Jesus Christ himself. It's here. It's in here. It's in here. Come check it out. So, but if you don't have confidence in that, if you don't really believe that, you're not going to be so quick to share it. So to me, it speaks of maybe a crisis of confidence. Catholics need to be built up in their confidence about their holy faith, the reasons why they're Catholic. So again, it's part of what we do, why we do what we do here on Relevant Radio. And I don't know. I mean, it's possible that the 61% of those surveyed, those Catholics surveyed who say that it's possible to maybe they're just like super well-educated in their Catholic faith, that they know the technicality that it is possible. It's certainly possible for non-Catholics to be saved. It's even possible for non-Christians to be saved, but it is not exactly a guarantee. It's not exactly a sure thing. So it depends why they're saying that, but my fear is that a lot of Catholics are not that confident. Maybe you can relate to this. We're talking about this Pew Research survey and what people think about the afterlife, about different issues. 888-914-9149 is Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Here's another one. How much time do I have, Lucas? Okay, I got 3 minutes. I should be able to talk about this. So 43% of all U.S. adults who believe in heaven, 43% think that people become angels in heaven. This drives me up the wall. This drives me up the proverbial wall. We, folks, we are not angels in more ways than one, right? We're not angels. We never will be, even in the afterlife. And some people, they say that, they don't really know what they're saying. They say, little Johnny has passed away. Heaven has gained another angel. No. And when I was a kid, I remember there was a children's book. It's kind of a scary children's book in a certain sense. I remember I had this when I was a kid. Maybe you can relate to this. Maybe you remember this book. It was called The Littlest Angel. It was about a kid who tragically drinks some poison. I was like, I don't know, some sort of household cleaner he found in the cupboard. And he passes away, sadly. He's this little kid, this toddler. He goes to heaven. He becomes, guess what? An angel. Heaven's newest angel. Well, that's not what happens. We're always human persons created in the image of God, different from the angels, which are pure spirits. So that's even Roma Downey, touched by an angel. She's a good friend of the program. She's been on the show before. She would be the first to tell you, no, we don't become angels. We're always human. and God has a destination for us in heaven. We'll be right back with more on the Cale Clark Show. 1-888-914-9149 is the number to call if you want to react to this. You can also try tweeting at me at Cale Clark or the show account. Producer Lucas is hiding behind it at Cale Clark Show. If you want to get Lucas, that's how you get him, at Cale Clark Show. We'll be right back after this. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Explaining the faith so you can explain it to others. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back. 888-914-9149. Welcome back to the People's Radio Show, the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. We're finding out what people think about the afterlife. It's the end of the year. Some people are thinking about the end of all years in their lives. And that's actually a pretty good thing to do, Producer Lucas, right? And you've been kind of thinking about this too, right?
I have. You know, during the season of Advent, kind of reflecting on the last things, I was thinking to myself, you know, I don't know how much I've actually taken the time to learn about the kind of the four last things, death, judgment, heaven, and hell. And I'm like, you know, this is something that every single person, each of us is going to face. And it's amazing to me, especially after listening to you read some of those statistics, that how many of us don't know, or not even don't know, but don't even believe in some of these things like heaven and hell. And so I've been reading this book by Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, Pope Benedict XVI, on eschatology, which is a fancy theological word that relates to the last things. And he's been talking about the kingdom of God. And it's really cool because I think sometimes people can think, oh, if you spend too much time reflecting on this stuff, you know, like we need to, especially for evangelization, we need to be present in the moment, meeting people where they're at. But really, this is, he makes the case in some of it that the more you think about these things, actually, the more effective you're going to be in bringing the kingdom of God to people right now. Because we live in interesting times where we're kind of in between, Cale, as you've talked about a lot on the show, kind of the... I forget how you say it, V-E-Day, and the D-day victory's and, there.
Yeah, D-Day
but like
and V-E-Day.
We still got work to do, you know?
Yeah, I can relate to that. And everybody's different. What's sort of the hook that grabs them into the faith or taking the next step in their faith? For me, when I was in university, man, I got to tell you, like, that was the top of mind question for me. If I were to die tonight, and this is a question that evangelical campus ministry students asked me when I was in university at Illinois State University, if you were to die tonight and stand before Almighty God, and he were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? I mean, that's a very good question, right?
Yeah, it is.
And so we do know this is coming. We do know this is a trip that all of us are going to be taking. A lot of you guys are on, you might be listening to me right now. You're on the road, you're traveling to see loved ones, and you planned out this trip to the nth degree. Where you're going to stay, you've got an Airbnb on the way, whatever. This is where I'm going to stop for gas or to charge up your Tesla or whatever. I can only dream. But you've made a plan. And so why not make a plan for someplace that you know you have to go at some point? You just don't know when. So I think this is really what this survey is about. And by the way, I love that you're reading Ratzinger. He's the greatest. Pope Benedict XVI. He's kind of like a superhero, right? His alter ego is, you know, maybe his real identity, Pope Benedict. It's kind of like Batman, you know. Is his real identity Batman or Bruce Wayne? Anyway, so
it's so good. I mean, it's so dense, though. Like, I honestly have to read a page and then like reread it, and I'm like, oh man, this is a lot to try and grapple with. But I'm trying to stretch my brain.
But he's also a pretty clear teacher, though. He really is. And we got to have Father Harrison Ayer back on the show.
Yes,
his book Mysterion is finally coming out. Yeah. Finally coming out in print. And he is a Ratzinger guru. He's always talking about Ratzinger, and with good reason. And so let's get back to this survey on the afterlife. Just a couple more things I want to say about this that I found intriguing that we didn't have time to cover before the break. And if you missed the first part of the show, please, about an hour after the show ends, you'll be able to download the podcast from the Relevant Radio app or the website. So we talked about what the majority of Americans who believe in heaven, they think it's going to be like, some, you know, kind of out there ideas. What about what Americans think about hell? H-E double hockey sticks. Well, here's what I found interesting. 51% of Americans who do believe that there is an eternal hell, they do think that it involves physical suffering of some sort, not just spiritual suffering. And they're right about that. So, but only about half of the people got it right. Now, if you tune into the Faith Explained show tomorrow at 12:30 on Relevant Radio, or check the podcast, I am going to be talking about this a little bit, because we're covering the book of Daniel. We're getting to the end of the book of Daniel. In the last chapter of Daniel, chapter 12, I'll talk about this a little bit more tomorrow on the Faith Explained. This is 6th century BC stuff. So this is a prophecy 6 centuries before the time of Christ that Daniel gets. And it's the first time in the Bible that it mentions a double resurrection, that there's a resurrection of the just and of the unjust, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Okay, everybody gets resurrected at the end. Now, we know a lot more about that now than we did back then, thanks to the revelation of Jesus in the New Testament. So, for example, in John's Gospel, in John chapter 5, Jesus says this: "Truly, truly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is," like it's, this is happening right now in the life of Jesus, "when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." Now, that really came true in the life of Lazarus. Lazarus come forth. He literally gets up out of his tomb and walks out. This past Friday was the feast day of Lazarus. Jesus continues, "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming when all," not just some, "but all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment." Now, this is Jesus fulfills this, but this is prophesied way back in the book of Daniel, in Daniel 12:2, when it says that multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to shame and everlasting contempt, and some to eternal life. And so that's what we're going to talk about a little bit tomorrow on the Faith Explained show. So I thought it was interesting that only half of Americans believe that. Now, there is something worse than the physical suffering. There is, of course, spiritual suffering is worse. And we know this. Peter Kreeft, again, I like to quote him. He's so quotable, kind of like C.S. Lewis and Chesterton. Kreeft says that it's like when somebody gets a piece of bad news, a loved one has passed away, or something really terrible has happened, a great tragedy. Very often people will punch a wall, or they'll hit their head against the wall, and they'll actually hurt themselves physically to try to, why would they do that? They're breaking their knuckles, or, you know, giving themselves a concussion, because they're trying to distract themselves from the spiritual pain with physical pain, because the spiritual pain is even worse. And he always says, ask yourself this question: if you could have anything in the universe given to you, if you could have all your deepest desires handed to you on a silver platter, but with one condition, you will never, ever, ever, ever see the face of God, would you take that deal? He said that should really cause a chill to run down your spine. If it doesn't, there's something wrong there. Because even if you were to gain, as Jesus said, even if you were to gain the whole world and lose your own soul, what shall it profit you? Not at all. In fact, it's going to be a great detriment to you for all eternity. So I found that kind of interesting. Other quick findings that we can share with you from the survey. This is the Pew Research Forum, and their survey of what Americans think about the afterlife. 1 out of every 3 Americans believe in reincarnation. This is a stubborn idea that just won't go away. But this is where our faith can kind of correct that, because this is where the resurrection comes in. You're never going to be somebody else. You're always you. There's only one of you. You are unique. There are no do-overs in life. You're not going to get to come back. I'd like to come back and play in the NBA. It's not going to happen. Okay, I just have to accept that. But hey, there is no reincarnation. One of the reasons we know that is because of the resurrection of the body. You're always going to be you. You're even going to get your body back. Now, it's going to be glorified. It's going to be different. I'll lose the punch, hopefully. And so that you're going to be the best version of yourself in a lot of ways, hopefully, as a saint in heaven with a resurrected body, but you won't be reincarnated. So don't buy into that. And just a couple more things real quick. And then we can get to your phone calls. 888-914-9149. 7 out of 10 Americans believe it's possible to, quote unquote, feel the presence of someone who has died. And 4 in 10 say they have experienced that. I don't know what this could be. There was a guy who wrote a book called, I can't remember the gentleman's name. It was called Hungry Souls. Hungry Souls. And this guy, this is an interesting book. Now, it's got some stuff in it about how souls in purgatory can kind of manifest somehow in the physical world. Like they can leave like, you know, handprints on the curtains or something, like a singed handprint or something saying, pray for me, pray for me. And it, just some wild stuff. Like, I don't know. And I don't know how, I can't comment on this, the legitimacy of this, but it's an interesting thought. It's an interesting thought. And 5 out of 10 Americans believe it's possible to, quote unquote, get help from the dead. 2 out of 10 say they have experienced this. Now, yeah, we certainly as Catholics believe you can get help from the saints in heaven. We believe in the intercessory prayer of the saints. We don't believe in necromancy, this idea of trying to ascertain the future, divine the future by consulting the dead. That is an illicit spiritual practice that's condemned by the church, condemned in the Old Testament. We had a whole show about this because there's a necromancer to the stars named Carissa Schumacher, rather, out in L.A., who's doing exactly that, claiming to channel the dead. She even thinks she's channeling Christ. I don't think she is. We'll talk more about that another time. But intercessory prayer from the saints is good. They're not dead. They're more alive than we are because they're with God in heaven. 8 out of 10 Americans believe in near-death experiences, or NDEs. And one of these days, I will have one of my other former professors on, Dr. Gary Habermas. He's written a lot of stuff on near-death experiences, and it's pretty intriguing. It's pretty intriguing. There are a lot of pieces of professional literature about near-death experiences that have been cataloged from people from all sorts of walks of life. It's kind of interesting because they, and I don't have the data in front of me right now, but they all kind of say that they see very similar things. They talk about hearing music that's so beautiful. It's like nothing they've ever heard on earth. Certainly better than my own limited karaoke skills. They talk about seeing this, oh, I'm being drawn to this incredible light and blah, 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 blah. Now, a lot of people say this and they think, well, that means I'm going to heaven. Well, I hope so. I hope so. But pump the brakes a little bit because don't forget what the Bible says. Everyone must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So no matter where you're going, you're going to have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, which is, I'm guessing, a pretty awesome sight to behold, a pretty awesome experience. I would imagine it'd be filled with light, but it doesn't necessarily mean folks are going to stay there. So just let's get real about this. I've always thought that was something that we need to keep in mind. But anyways, there's just one last thing. There's some stuff in there about whether or not Americans believe they can get prayers answered. Evangelical Christians, 90% of them say that it's possible to experience an answer to a specific prayer request. But only 73% of evangelicals say they have experienced an answer to prayer. But they're the highest group by far that have said that they believe this and that they have experienced it. Catholics in America, 75% of Catholics, so 3 out of 4, believe that it's possible to experience answered prayer. But only 47% of Catholics say they've experienced an answer to prayer. I don't know why that is. I would say one of the big reasons is maybe you're not keeping track. That's why it's good to have a prayer journal, because we sometimes forget about things we prayed about and we actually get an answer, but we forgot we prayed about it. So, and the answer is either yes, no, or not yet, you know, wait. And God always knows what's best, and we have to pray that thy will be done. That's the key to everything. So I would really encourage you to write down your prayers, your prayer requests, because it's a really good thing to look back on that and say, wow, God is listening. I am getting actual answers here. And that really bolsters our faith too. So I really thought there was a fascinating survey. This was the Pew Religious Survey on what Americans think about the afterlife. And I hope that was somewhat illuminating for you. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 888-914-9149. I'm going to go to the phones right now. Christopher is calling from the Twin Cities from Minnesota. Hello, Christopher.
How are you, Cale?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
Not too bad.
Good.
When I was a kid, I grew up watching a show called Highway to Heaven.
Oh, yes.
Where Michael Landon plays a so-called probationary angel.
And yeah.
He has to go around helping people out on Earth before he becomes an angel.
Yeah, I remember that show.
And even as a kid, I would kind of look, can people really become angels, or do they just become saints? You know, and then as I grew older, well, no, they become saints because obviously angels are pure spirits and pure, they're created by God either for him to praise him in front of him. And then obviously you have the fallen angels.
That's right. That's right.
They go down to hell.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, I very, very vividly remember Highway to Heaven with Michael Landon, a very popular TV show. Yeah, kind of a precursor to, in some ways, Touched by an Angel with Roma Downey. So thanks for the call, Christopher. I appreciate that. And have a very Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you and your family.
You too, Cale.
And thanks for listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. Yep, we will become the best version of ourselves. And by the way, you mentioned angels there on your call there, Christopher, and that reminded me of another question that I got recently on Twitter, that why are angels sometimes called saints, like Saint Michael the Archangel, right? And the best answer I can give it, and Roberta, listening in Houston, a faithful listener to the program, hi, Roberta, asked me that question. And the way I responded to her was I said that in Greek, now the New Testament is written, of course, in Greek. And there's a word in the New Testament that's translated as saints in your English Bible, and it's the word hagios, which means the holy ones. And so the holy ones can be, there are living saints, of course, and sometimes when St. Paul writes his letters, he addresses them to the saints, to those called to be saints in Corinth or in Rome. We see that in the introduction to a lot of his letters. And so this term hagios, holy ones, well, obviously the good angels, like St. Michael, are also holy as well. They're holy angels. They're holy human beings who have become saints. And so really, the best way I could answer that question for Roberta was to say that this term hagios is kind of a catch-all phrase for all of the holy ones. So that's why it's appropriate to refer to these good angels as saints as well. That's my best guess. And that's why we can say St. Michael, the archangel, for example. We're going to talk about St. Michael a little bit too tomorrow on The Faith Explained, because he's in the book of Daniel. Michael and Gabriel are both in the book of Daniel. So are you going to want to catch that episode tomorrow, 12:30 Central. All right, we're going to go now to Nick, who's calling from Rio Rancho, New Mexico. Hello, Nick.
Hi, Cale. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just had a story to share of when I was in, I was discerning with a religious community for a couple of years. And when I started out, I was having a little bit of trouble with the morning routine, getting up on time for morning prayer and meditation. And so my superior, you know, he would send up guys occasionally to, you know, help the other guys wake up. And then one morning, I was oversleeping a bit, and I hear this knock on the door, and I kind of wake up in a haze, and I'm like, oh, this was probably one of the guys. So I open the door, and there's nobody there, so I just look around, I'm like, okay, that's kind of weird. And then I, you know, went down and had my next direction meeting with my director, who was also my superior. I said, hey, did you send anybody up? He's like, no, I never sent anybody up to get you. So I just kind of brought it to him, and they're like, you know, it sounds like your guardian angel is probably giving you a little kick in the butt. So I thought that was kind of cool.
That is kind of cool, Nick. And thank you so much for that. And one of the things I'm looking forward to, please God in heaven, is finding out all of the jams that our guardian angel has gotten us out of and all the times that we weren't aware of.
I imagine mine's got a facepalm about half the time.
Yeah, you're right. I think about that a lot too. How much weeping my guardian angel must have done, all the silly things I've done in my life. And I'm sure you can relate to that. We all can relate to that. But one of the great gifts that God gives to us, of course, is that we each of us have a guardian angel. Jesus talks about that in the Gospel of Matthew. He says, see that you don't despise any of these little ones, for I tell you the truth, their angels are always beholding the face of their Father in heaven. And so they're kind of looking at us and looking at the Father at the same time and trying to make sure that we get there. And those are great helps from heaven. Thank you so much, Nick, and Merry Christmas to you and yours this year.
Merry Christmas. Thank you.
You got it. Thanks for calling in. That was Nick from Rio Rancho, New Mexico. If you want to call in, 888-914-9149. We'll be right back after this really quick break on the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Faith, facts, and fun. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Do you remember when it first started? December! Oh, we tried to alter it. Did it work? Probably not. Is the 21st day, not September, but December, but it's always good to play that song because it's one of the greatest songs ever. The shortest day of December. All right, so it's the winter solstice, and things are only going to get more sunny from here. And you're listening to The Cale Clark Show, 888-914-9149. We just talked about what Americans think about the afterlife, and we have a call about that, a question about the afterlife. Steve is calling from Minneapolis. Hello, Steve.
Hello?
Steve, are you there? You're on the air. What's your question, sir?
Well, first of all, let me just say I really appreciate this show, and I've been listening for a couple months now, and I grew up Protestant, and I've always attended Protestant churches, but I tell you, I'm really warming up to Catholicism, and I'm God's doing some, I don't know, strange things in my life through the station, and I even started listening to some Scott Hahn stuff on YouTube, and boy, that'll challenge you because he came out of the Protestant faith himself. But here's my question, because I really find myself agreeing with you 9 times out of 10, maybe even more than that, on most every topic. I really think you're a thoughtful, balanced person when it comes to looking at any issue. I'm asking this not as a loaded question, because I know Protestants have a different view of purgatory, but I really want to understand, in light of the afterlife, can you explain to me, in the way that you explain things, what purgatory really, how it fits, and then also, what's the biblical basis? Because it isn't taught at all in any of the Protestant churches that I've been a part of, and I've been kind of an evangelical branch of the Protestant church. And I'm asking this not at all to dispute it, because I'm just hungry to understand your, especially your perspective on it, because I think you think through things well, and so I guess that's my question, Cale, is, can you explain to me in a nutshell this concept of purgatory and how that affects people that are, I mean, is that just for the Catholic people, or is that, I mean, how does that work?
Hey, just for us, and everybody else has to, you know, they get to just get right in. No, Steve, first of all, thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. I love it when non-Catholics, non-Christians listen to the program, and when they call in, I'm so glad. The other day, somebody who was an atheist called in and had a great conversation, and I'm just going to ask everybody listening to pray for you, Steve, on your spiritual journey, that you might receive light as you're searching. And I think it's awesome that you called in, and thank you for your very kind words. I'm really humbled by that. And let me try to answer your question about purgatory, because it's a question that I didn't see that coming up in the survey about what Americans think about the afterlife. But let me just, I'll tell you what the Catechism says about it, and I'll tell you where you can find it in the Bible and maybe try to shed a little bit of light on it. So the Catechism says about this about purgatory, and this is from, the Catechism is organized by paragraphs, so sometimes you'll see it in print as CCC 1030, CCC 1031. Those are paragraph numbers, so those are two paragraphs that talk a little bit about purgatory, and it says, all who die in God's grace and friendship, but still imperfectly purified, are indeed assured of their eternal salvation, but after death they undergo purification so as to achieve the holiness necessary to enter the joy of heaven. So there's in the book of Hebrews, it says that without holiness, no one will see the Lord, and I think that even for those of us who are in a state of grace, our souls are pretty clean. We still have, a little bit of dust in the corner. I always like to call purgatory the mudroom of heaven. Some of us have a mudroom in our house where we kind of just knock off the crud from the outdoors before we can come in to the family room, if you will. And so that's a little bit like purgatory. Now, one thing purgatory is definitely not, it's not a second chance for those who are condemned to hell after death. There's no getting out. The Catechism talks about that as well. In paragraph 1031, it says that the final purification of the elect is entirely different from the punishment of the damned. And so now it's true that you won't find the word purgatory anywhere in the Bible, but that doesn't mean that the concept is not there. The word Trinity is not in the scriptures either, but God is a Trinity. And I think that doctrine is in the scriptures as well, implicitly at least. So the question really is the concept of purgatory scriptural? In the Old Testament, in the books of the Maccabees, and I know, Steve, that a lot of Protestants don't view those books as scripture, but it does tell us at least, even if you don't think they're scripture, we think they are scripture, it does tell us what Jews at that time, you know, and this is around the time of Christ himself, thought about the afterlife. And here's what it says about Judas Maccabeus. It says, "For if he was not expecting that those who had fallen would rise again, it would have been superfluous and foolish to pray for the dead. But it was a holy and pious thought. Therefore, he made atonement for the dead that they might be delivered from their sin." So he was praying for some guys who had done a terrible thing before they died. He was praying for the repose of their souls, essentially. This is in 2 Maccabees chapter 12. You can read about it. Now, it's not necessary to pray for people already in heaven. They don't need our prayers. People in hell, right. No prayer can get us out of there. If you're in there, you can't be extracted.
Okay.
Jesus talks about that in Luke chapter 16, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. So there's got to be an intermediate state where those who are destined for heaven, everybody who's in purgatory is going to heaven. They just need to get cleaned up a little bit. That's what we talk about. We talk about it as a place sometimes, and maybe that's just a way of speaking about it, this purification that needs to be undergone before we can stand in the presence of a holy God. We can also talk about Matthew 12:32. Jesus talks about a sin that will not be forgiven either in this age or in the age to come. This kind of implies that some temporal punishment due to sin can be somehow expiated after death. And then the other one is 1 Corinthians 3:15, where St. Paul talks about people's work being tested by God in the day of judgment. And he talks about individuals whose work is kind of found wanting or you know, not up to par. He says he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Now, nobody can suffer loss in heaven. Nobody suffers at all in heaven, but so it can't refer to hell either because the person is saved in the end. So this seems to do with a purifying state. And so just a couple of quick things there from Scripture, and we're kind of running out of time here, Steve. I wish we had more time,
right, sure.
But hopefully this helps a little bit for you.
Absolutely. No, it's added to the tug in my heart toward these things because I guess I've been pleasantly surprised at Catholicism as I'm listening and from the theology that I hear, but also just the hearts to the people, the answers to prayer. It's just there's a lot that I'm rethinking, and I'm not sure where I'm going to land on it. But I do appreciate your prayers. I really do.
Steve, I appreciate you. I appreciate your honesty, your willingness to look into it, your openness, and I'll certainly keep you in prayer for sure. And you can call back anytime, Steve. You're always welcome here. And I want to wish you and yours very, very Merry Christmas.
Likewise. I appreciate your time. Thanks for the explanation. It's really helped.
You got it. So glad you called in, Steve. And we really want to thank everybody who listened today and who called in. I will be back again tomorrow. We still got a couple live shows left before the Christmas break. Looking forward to that and looking forward to talking to you again tomorrow. Lucas Holt produced. Patrick Alok took your calls. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.